Recording.
Well, good. Hey, welcome everybody to is it a first time every time for you, or is this another edition? Or I mean, because you have this show's so fascinating to me.
Your principle. That's there. A lot of questions all right together.
And right at the top. I didn't do much waiting.
You're like suggesting that I've really thought this through and figured it out after messing around with it for a couple years.
How do you consider each episode of this show? Is it a new show every time? Because while it always has the same guest, it always has a different host.
Right.
So is it a new show every time, or is it just episodic?
I see what you're saying. Is every episode a pilot for...
That's my question.
I sort of imagine, that's what it is. I'm the guest drifting out of all these different shows that weirdly all have the same...
That's funny.
Name.
This being the... what is the name?
The Toncast.
The Toncast.
That's the name of your show. Because you're the host.
Welcome to the Toncast. I'm your host, Jason Rohr. And with me today is television's Todd Robert Anderson, who is suffering through, like us all, through a heat wave in the depths of the valley here.
It's very hot.
I just went out to my car for a cigarette and make a couple of business calls, and my car says it's 107 in the valley, but my phone says it's only 100. And so, you know, the phone being the item of greatest intellectual power that most people carry around with them.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's smarter than most people's heads.
It's true.
The phone.
There's a lot of information on there.
The modern smartphone.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess I'm going to go with the phone, not my car, because my phone is
newer.
I
feel like it's a little over 100, but I don't know.
So do I.
I don't know.
Well, actually, my phone said Canoga Park was 100, and we're here in North Hills.
Yeah, North Hills is going to be hotter.
It's going to be hotter than that, yeah.
Yeah.
Why is that? Proximity to the Budweiser factory, or why?
Maybe. Maybe. I don't know why. North Hills, this area in particular, I guess because it's up against a hill.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
Because it gets hotter than anywhere else in the valley, I think.
I don't
and
know.
It gets colder.
Woodland Hills.
Woodland Hills gets pretty hot.
It's usually the credited champion for heat waves in
maybe.
The valley. Because I remember. Remember that?
Yeah, but then Northridge was credited for the earthquake, and it wasn't. It was the epicenter of that earthquake was in fucking Reseda. So we can't start accepting the credit that the media gives to Woodland Hills for the hottest.
Hey, be careful.
I think this is the hottest place.
I'm a professional journalist, and I might take offense at some of your wild accusations.
Did I hit a trigger?
I should have warned you. This show's loaded with triggers. It's hard not to set me off, really. So what's going on in the life of a television actor these days?
Very little. I had a very successful summertime.
Yeah. You were busy as hell.
Yeah, I worked on a couple of shows, and then they both basically wrapped at the same time, and then... I went from working on a couple of shows
to not working on any shows.
No shows.
Would you like us to come back when you're busier? Because this.
No, I think the most fascinating thing. I mean, because you don't hear in interviews with actors, they're always talking about how busy they are and how they have to go all these places and they do all this work and they're never home, you know, and their lives are crazy and exciting.
Uh-huh.
But I think the reality for the average actor, you know, not the movie stars, there's a lot of downtime. You know, so why not have an interview about that? Expose the truth.
Well,
if you are,
I think it's the same answer as why don't they have more stories about happy people? right? Because they're not inherently compelling is the reason.
That's
a- usually in storytelling, whether it's a, mm-hmm. A repertorial piece or a piece of fiction.
Sure, sure.
You have what somebody wants, and then you have an obstacle between them and that goal.
Sure.
And they have to either overcome it or die in the attempt.
Right.
So,
but I mean, you're not necessarily telling that kind of a story. You're a journalist.
Well,
so you're communicating information and the truth about things. You know,
yes and no, because it's hard to pitch an editor on a story about a lazy slob who just hangs around because the work finished, just waiting for the heat wave to be over so he can mow the lawn. Nobody, you know, dog bites man, Todd, is what we're looking for. We're looking for something of particular interest. And I tell you,
this is why when I pitched my reality series, Todd Knapps, I met with no success.
I'm guessing that's part of the reason. Yeah, I'm guessing that might have been part of the thing that they were thinking, we've seen this before, which is not necessarily in itself a bad thing.
Yeah.
But Andy Warhol did do an 8-hour movie once about a guy sleeping.
Sure.
And not a big seller.
No.
That movie didn't open strong.
Yeah, but this is a series. It's not just one 8-hour movie. It's like a
weekly
half-hour.
We're seeing that actually is a little bit more of a liability than just trying to sell it once. Selling this once a week, a guy...
Very cheap to make.
Sure.
This is like a jazz fish. Maybe it's like...
On the positive end, that is a good part of the pitch.
Maybe...
Cost down, because basically the same guy every time, probably the same set, right? Same bed, or sometimes you're going to be on the day bed, sometimes...
I'll tell you what. You greenlight Todd Knapps, and I'll give you, as part of the deal, Todd Sleeps. So you have the half-hour episode of the nap in the afternoon, and then you have programming all night long with Todd Sleeps.
Let me ask you this.
Sure.
How about, along with... I'll have no problem greenlighting Sleeps and Knapps. That's all great. If you're mm-hmm. willing to throw in, Todd wakes up and grapples with some existential problem that could conceivably cause him a lot of harm if he doesn't fix it. How about that?
You mean like an erection?
I
wake up with those a lot.
I'm thinking more about trying to earn a living for his family so that his son can grow up, big and strong.
That sounds stressful.
Without a mother who left his father because the father stopped being a provider, that kind of thing.
Oh.
What about a story? What about Todd wakes up and battles Loki?
The Avengers bad guy?
Yeah.
That god?
Yeah. What if the trickster, the Norse trickster god, comes to your house and decides to upset things? Turn all the furniture upside down or something.
Yeah.
Poltergeist-like. And you'd have to wake up and deal with that. What about that? That'd be something.
That's fine. If that's what you want to spend your money on, that's cool. I'm offering you a show where there's almost no budget, and you get...
Can I touch your chair?
Yeah, touch it.
I want to see what this fabric is. Okay. It's that woven kind of finish, mm-hmm. and I wasn't sure if it would be hard and cold to the touch or... soft and fabric-y, and it turns out it's soft and fabric-y, so...
Yeah, although it is a little rough.
Yeah, it's a little rough. Okay, rough and fabric-y.
Yeah, this is not a good, naked chair. You don't want to sit on this thing.
No,
you got to wear clothes.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah.
I just wasn't clear on... a lot of fabrics, you look at them, a lot of textures.
And they look like one thing, and they feel like something else.
Yeah. And I couldn't quite get a grasp. And most of the time, you look at them, and you think, oh, I know what that's going to feel like when I touch
it. But this time, you did not.
Hmm.
That's interesting.
Not really. See, this is the problem.
Oh.
I don't think we have an agreement on what's interesting, what's inherently...
So we need to... There needs to be more tension, is what you're suggesting.
I'm thinking, can you get Tom Hiddleston...
To the sleeping show?
To do Todd Knapps or Todd Wakes and Battles Loki? Because I think
you mean that, so I'll be sleeping with Tom, or he's playing Todd.
I'm thinking the sleeping part might be a kind of a like under the credits, you know, kind of a.
I just want to know what's happening here because I'm starting to feel like Carl Reiner getting pushed out of the lead of my own show and getting replaced with Dick Van Dyke.
Well,
I mean, it was a good move.
Well.
So it might be the right thing. I mean, I'm still showrunner, basically.
I'm just trying to look at options. I'm trying to keep your potential from becoming less potentialic.
So Tom Hiddleston sleeps and battles
probably
Loki.
Probably wakes you up.
He wakes me up.
I'm guessing the sleeping part again probably won't be. As much a part, maybe we'll keep the title.
So you think you can get Hiddleston to play Loki for a TV series?
I'm suggesting that I'm giving you an example of something that if you brought it to the table,
I just assumed we'd be getting somebody else.
The green light would be much brighter and much more likely.
Okay, so I sleep and I wake up and battle Loki.
Or,
as portrayed by Tom
or
Hiddleston.
I mean, at this point, you've set a pretty low bar. I mean, going from Todd's naps to Todd mows the lawn, honestly, is a big step up for us at this point. Todd gets a snack is probably better than Todd.
The other day I woke up in the middle of the night and I needed to have a snack.
What'd you get?
I got an oatmeal cookie.
Now, was that difficult? Did you have to mix ingredients in a bowl and turn on the oven? And did you have
to create dough? I opened a cabinet and I pulled out a bag of cookies that
Here's
I got
the
at
thing.
The store.
A lot of the entertainment industry is predicated on showing people things that they themselves maybe either can't do.
Uh-huh.
Or don't do very often, or are afraid to do, or that they think would be really fun to do, but that they don't get the chance to do.
Okay.
And I'm thinking an oatmeal cookie in the middle of the night, while a big improvement on Todd Knapp's on the couch in the middle of the afternoon, because he's got nothing to do, because his show's wrapped for the summer. I'm thinking, getting up and getting a snack, Moe, that's a big plus. We're moving forward now.
Okay.
But again, what if... Freddy Krueger is waiting in the kitchen and stabs you repeatedly with his knife fingers.
Yeah.
You know, while all you want to do is get a cookie.
But that,
right? People can relate to that.
Yeah.
People understand.
But how am I going to survive that?
You may not. And that would be a problem.
For the show, mm-hmm. moving forward.
So I'm hoping that what you're bringing mm-hmm. is got a little bit more conflict. Than we've been talking about,
mm-hmm.
and maybe a little bit more activity, a little more active choice on the part of the protagonist.
I don't know. I mean, I think that watching me sleep should be enough. I'm an interesting actor.
I'm
and personality.
I'm absolutely behind your ability to sleep in a compelling manner
mm-hmm.
week after week.
This is what I'm saying.
No question. Selling that to people who maybe at first hearing this this pitch that you got. I mean, mm-hmm. let's just say we shoot a pilot and six, right? Let's say we got greenlit for six, and we got those in the can, and here it comes, the beginning of season, and we got to sell this show, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
Todd Knapp's.
I just assume that there's a sleeping channel. Isn't there a sleeping channel?
I think that's another network. I think, you're putting me in an odd position here because I went from the host of a podcast that it actually exists to the position of pretending to be some, I'm guessing, mid-level executive at... A television studio.
Well, I feel like we just slipped into that kind of role-playing
I'm
game naturally.
I'm fine with that. But I'll tell you, much as I want to yes and you on this...
Yeah, sure.
I'm thinking this... What this studio is more into producing is stuff where people have their eyes open and they're ambulatory.
I see.
That's more the kind of show that we're looking for in this fantasy studio.
Well, when I walk out of here... I assumed that this you had your own sleep channel, under the umbrella of your network.
We tried it. We tried it. We replaced it with puppies.
The Puppy Channel. The Puppy Channel. I've watched a lot of that.
Yep.
It's good.
And we flirted. We went further than flirtation. We actually showed for a while the puppies being disemboweled channel.
Uh-huh.
That didn't sell.
No.
Although, I mean,
but I mean that's a very dramatic. I feel like there are a lot of gray areas.
I want to show you that it's not as simple as maybe it sounded like I was presenting to you. Hey, what if we get a really popular actor from a really popular franchise of action films where everybody wears tights and put it into your Todd Knapp's concept?
Mm-hmm.
I want to be more generous than that and more honest, frankly, and more frank, honestly. Uh-huh. And I wanted to say, look, that doesn't always work, right? Because we tried disemboweling puppies. We thought, hey, what's popular? This was a while back. This was sure. when we were finding our legs and Braveheart had just come out. Uh-huh. And we thought, well, disembowelment is popular and everybody likes puppies.
That's true.
So it turned out it was a bad bet. We didn't find that we were cornering any market,
mm-hmm.
Or even attracting the attention of anyone.
Sure.
At all. In fact, most people's response to the show was, I think it's fair to say, strongly negative.
Well, yeah.
And
but you don't know unless you try. I mean, that's the thing.
And that's the thing. We know now.
You know now.
So
yeah, this I'm is like the Turner and Hooch situation that Disney had back in the late 80s.
Elaborate.
Turner and Hooch, unlike Canine, mm-hmm. starring Jim Belushi, mm-hmm. which was a giant hit,
mm-hmm.
Turner and Hooch did not do well, despite the presence of Tom Hanks. And a big delightful phlegmy dog, because the dog dies at the end.
Now,
in Canine, dog gets shot. You are worried the dog is going to die, but the dog does not die.
Your primary concern at that point is that you're worried that you're going to be left alone with Jim Belushi. Whereas in Turner and Hooch, I was, I'll admit, I never made it to the midway point of Turner and Hooch.
Turner and Hooch.
Turner and Hooch turned me off.
You didn't like it.
I didn't like it. And like a lot of people, I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
But now, I want to say thank you. If we get nothing else out of this meeting we've taken, I know that I don't have to go and watch the rest of Turner and Hooch ever.
Because that was probably bothering you a little bit.
A very little bit, it probably was. And now it's not, because now I know that Hooch dies. Is Hooch... Which one was Hooch?
The dog.
Yeah. So you're telling me that Hooch dies at the end.
Yeah, Hooch dies.
Great. Done.
But then there's like a nice little, you know, postscript where Hooch's dog girlfriend, after his demise...
She squirts out a litter of puppies.
Yeah.
That's adorable.
And they all look like her... Except for the one that looks like Hooch, because they're totally different breeds.
Boy, you're stirring something in me. I might have to... it might be diarrhea. I don't know. I'm not feeling
sorry,
good
I'm
about
sorry.
That.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
So, Todd
Knapp's. I didn't understand that.
Let's
genetics.
Do a focus group. Because I don't want to just poo-poo this idea right off the top. Let's ask some folks who have watched you Knapp.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing your wife has seen some of this.
I don't know that she's watched me, but she's seen me napping, I guess. There's like a difference. It's more of a glance.
Napping,
and then moves on.
Let's ask your son. I'm going to bet your parents have had some...
Yeah, they've seen me napping. Yeah,
you're napping.
Yeah, they probably... if anyone watched me nap,
mm-hmm.
it was probably them when
and
I was a baby.
You've got some siblings, right?
Uh-huh.
We'll ask them.
Sure.
And then we'll basically come at we'll be able to reject your idea. I think in a way that's probably more satisfactory to you that brings us a lot closer.
It sounds like you'll
closure.
Be more thorough. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it almost sounds like this is a part of the show, like you could add into the show that makes a little more sense to me. It's like if you cut from the napping to some talking head commentaries about the napping. That makes sense.
This sounds like one of those mid-career Woody Allen picture scenarios. in which the Woody Allen character, often played by Woody Allen, is finds his fictional circumstance commented upon by an even more fictional sort of meta sequence of a picture where perhaps some well-known intellectual or somebody playing the character of a well-known intellectual comments upon the action that's going on in the movie. These movies didn't do so hot. These Stardust Memories, Shadows and Fog, these were not some of the more popular.
That's a good point.
Zelig, you know?
Yeah.
Not a big seller. Nobody remembers that one.
I have a copy of that.
Me too.
Because it came in a box set. That's what they do with those filmmaker box sets.
Yeah.
They have like the ones that you really want, but then they jam in some turkeys.
These aren't the worst movies. No, the ones they're I'm describing. All right, yeah. They're just some movies that didn't do so hot at the box office. And I'm thinking, let's say, but again, I want to reiterate.
Sure.
You take the premise of Zelig, which is a guy who reacts to every circumstance in a very active and novel way every time, right? He basically changes his entire personality and physicality, clothes, hair, learns new languages. Every time he changes his environment. Versus middle-aged actor lies around the house asleep. Do you see a little bit of a
difference? You're comparing what is a weekly, perhaps daily, television series to a feature film.
I hadn't thought of this as the Daily Show. Let me see if I can get my head around selling that to some of the lots of bosses. There's lots of bosses around here.
Maybe
a lot of heads to turn.
And naps are very popular. Power naps, you know, very popular. So it could be a thing that people watch on their TV or their computer to get them into the mood. And it's like you're napping with a buddy. It's like, you know, you could even call that instead of Todd Naps, Todd the Nap Buddy.
Are you comfortable with nudity?
Sure.
Because here's what I'm thinking. Reality shows, daytime reality shows, have pretty much killed the traditional soap opera as we know it in America.
There's still a couple, but for the most part, yeah,
they're hanging on. They're really hanging on. And they might survive, you know, another 5 or even 10 years. It's possible, but it doesn't look like that form is going to survive the onslaught of reality shows and interview shows and personality shows.
Right, that's true.
So this might be an idea whose time has come, that you take a guy whose livelihood is based on being an everyman.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're a professional, you've made a living as an actor in commercials for many years, and you tend to be cast as guys who are fairly normal,
right?
Fairly, you know, relatable personality, relatable physical type. You put this guy every day, let's say, what's a good nap time? I mean, let's say a 1 o'clock show, right? 1 o'clock slot in the afternoon. You fed the kids. You're feeling like maybe it's time for a nap, and you turn on Todd Naps. There's a naked man curled up in a fetal position. Are you seeing this as a show that would start with you awake, or would you already be napping, do you think, at the top of the show?
Well, I don't think fully awake, perhaps just getting into bed, the initial process of relaxing and falling to sleep would be part of the nap itself, but it wouldn't start in the bathroom or whatever. I think it starts at the bed. Perhaps you know, at most you see me getting into the bed, but you see the top of the nap and the drifting.
You're seeing this as a single camera show where you maybe even a single setup show, where, because again,
you could use one camera.
We want to keep the costs way down for this.
Yeah, then
if we can,
then you're good.
So let's say we mount a camera at the footboard.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, to create some suspense, I can see we could just film looking up the bed, right? This empty bed.
Sure.
Empty pillow.
Yep.
A neatly made bed.
Mm-hmm.
And we might extend that shot empty, devoid of life. Just an empty bed.
Sure.
Maybe for a minute or 2 minutes, conceivably, before a shadow.
Well, that
crosses
builds,
the bet. Absolutely.
That builds anticipation.
And then, man gets in the bed. He's naked.
Uh-huh.
And I guess we could have sometimes Todd gets in the bed and gets under the covers. Sometimes mm-hmm. Todd just throws himself down on top of the
duvet. Because it's hot
as fuck.
On top
of the duvet if it's hot. Yeah. Okay. So, see, I was saying this is a very static idea. I'm glad you... harped and nagged at me until I started to see it.
Well, you gotta believe in your ideas, man. And I believe in my ideas and my dreams.
I mean, to be perfectly honest, my first reaction was, what kind of jackass would think that watching him sleep is going to be entertaining to anybody else? But now that you've made me think about this for 15 or 20 minutes... I guess I'm coming around to seeing the possibilities. So, some days the weather would be hot.
Yeah.
Some days the weather not so hot.
No, but some days there'd be like a rain, and that wow. is great for napping.
Wow. Yeah, and we can put the lighting package outside the window. And do one of those rain gobos, conceivably, as
sure.
you sleep. So there'd be physical motion, at least, in the... All right. What about vermin? Because I tell you, what's been a real big seller recently has been the bed bug extermination kit.
Mm-hmm.
I know we just did a focus on that a couple of seasons ago, and apparently that's still going strong. People are terrified of bed bugs. People are terrified that their homes will
that
be
sounds
overrun
like,
by vermin of some sort.
I mean, that sounds like... I think that's a solid idea. I think you keep that for season two.
I don't want to jump the shark
that's
on this
a season two.
Too early. Yeah. But I'm seeing that development down the line... I mean, executives want to hear this stuff. I mean...
Sure.
You know, I've got a knock on a lot of office doors with this idea, and I want to be able to tell them that the Bible for this show is broad enough, is deep enough, that
right.
maybe in season two... we can go from weather to vermin, you know,
mm-hmm.
and we can do cycles of different sorts of vermin, you know.
Yeah.
And by season three, conceivably, somebody with an actual agenda
mm-hmm.
And an obstacle for you to overcome will break mm-hmm. into the house and wake you up. And then you'll have to act like a character in a traditional piece of fiction where you behave in some way.
Why don't we just have a couple of cats sleeping on the bed with me sometimes? Not in every episode.
I like it. I think cats are very popular.
Can even get kittens. People love kittens.
Kittens would be good.
Could have a playful kitten while I'm trying to sleep. That could be a little bit of a dramatic...
We don't want to worry about you rolling over and crushing one of the kittens, because if you're actually asleep, we've got liability to worry about.
Oh, okay.
And I'm thinking... trying to pay for a lot of therapy for millions of Americans who watched you kill a kitten with your body.
Yeah, that's going to...
Your naked
right.
body.
You're right.
That rolled over and
so just regular size
crushed
cats.
The life.
Regular size cats.
Out of a...
A puppy. Maybe a puppy.
Kitten. A newborn kitten still smeared with the mucus, you know, from an afterbirth.
Why would you have a kitten that young in your bed?
We're just spitballing here, Todd. I don't want to get locked into anything.
Well, just
and
forget
I don't
about
lock
the kitten thing.
Out.
Forget about the kitten thing. What about a puppy? You can't crush a puppy.
Again, we're still smarting from the puppy disembowelment thing, and we've got a good thing going with the puppy channel. You know, they romp. That's about it.
All right.
But we have a lot of editing to do on the puppy
what about
channel.
A turtle? Like a guy, like I have a pet turtle.
Again, what if he turns over on his back? What if you lash out in your sleep? Are you a sound sleeper?
Do
you?
No, not at all.
You flop around?
Flop, yes. Right. And sweat
you
profusely.
You tosser?
Oh, yeah.
You turner?
I fart, and I toss, and I turn, and I sweat.
Huh. Mm. All right.
And I wake suddenly.
I don't know if you're aware, but you know that family that used to do their own show, a family values show. They were duck hunters. They all had beards. They were
Duck Dynasty.
Duck Dynasty.
Sure.
Some of them are
great show.
Some of them are actively clamoring to get back in the limelight.
Uh huh.
And it being it's not technically an election year, but technically it is now because the election cycle is starting to take 24 months.
Sure.
So I'm thinking, what if ducks are in your bed?
Ducks?
Yeah. I'm thinking we just jump. We jump right past that first season where you just sort of snooze and fart and roll over.
All right. I mean, I feel like it's going to be too jarring for the audience if I'm sleeping with ducks away.
I'm still a little
concerned. Might think it's a ludicrous program.
I'm still a little concerned that our original concept might not be enough of a throat grabber. And I'm thinking, what if ducks invade your home every day while you're asleep?
Huh.
And again, daily show, right? It's 1 o'clock every afternoon, and everybody tunes in for a solid week, the first week. We'll call it pilot week.
Sure.
Your home is invaded by ducks while you're asleep. And it turns out that you're tossing and turning, you're farting, you're thrashing, you're flopping, is all related to the fact that there's ducks upsetting your sleep cycle.
Mm.
There's ducks all over the house for a solid week. And then they abscond before you wake up.
So I don't know. I don't know. I'm thinking
while you're
just having sleep problems.
Or Tom Hiddleston. Ducks, Loki. Some alien
either
force.
Or both, maybe. I see what you're saying. I mean, it's a lot.
You could have duck minions.
It sounds... I mean, it really sounds like the show's getting
second
too busy.
Second week.
Because you have that kind of sleep problem, you're going to go get a sleep test.
Second week, a bunch of right-wing Christian men with beards and shotguns.
Uh-huh. The dynasty.
The duck dynasty.
Yeah.
Invade your home.
Sure.
After the ducks. And start shotgunning ducks all over your
while
bed.
I'm trying to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, two ways to go with this.
Yeah.
They could wake you up. I gotta tell you, I'm leaning in this direction.
I think we're getting away from what the core of the show is, and it's I'm napping.
I don't know that we're philosophically completely entwined. Like the double helix, let's say, of a DNA strand.
Uh-huh.
I don't know that you and I are completely helixed on just what it is that are the guts of this show that would really drive it.
Then I'm lost. I mean, if you have the Duck Dynasty and the ducks and Loki mm-hmm. waking me mm-hmm. from my nap,
mm-hmm.
then the show is no longer Todd Naps. It's Todd Naps until he is woken up by violence.
I think you're denying the essential flexibility and power of the idea you brought us. I think you're saying essentially that your show is a closed system and cannot grow. And I got to say, that's not all that attractive an idea to us. Whereas I'm saying, I think you're short selling this idea mm-hmm. that you came up with.
Sure.
This is your pitch, and I think it's a beautiful one. And I think it absolutely could include trickster Norse gods.
Yeah.
And ducks being shotgunned by right-wing bearded men.
I mean, if
I'm
that's...
Just saying, if we start closing the door on every opportunity...
No. I understand that you make compromises when
it's a collaborative art, you know?
No, I get it, but it's like where is... I get it, but where is... there's a lot of blurred lines here. I mean, where like, in your concept, your version of my show, mm-hmm. I'm concerned that it's putting my artistic integrity in jeopardy.
Let me put it to you this
way. Because in my head, it's me napping.
Yeah.
Like sleeping.
Let me see.
For like, I had 20 minutes to a half hour of actual sleeping.
Well, I mean,
it's it like
22. You'd have 22 minutes
with commercials. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yeah.
So here's, let me phrase this another way. Imagine, okay, name me some of your favorite television shows from when you were growing up. One. Give me one show that you, when you were a young kid, let's say.
No, it was
that
little...
you'd come home from school and you'd turn on this show.
Empty Nest.
Great. And tell me, who was your favorite character on Empty Nest?
The guy who, had done Joe Isuzu.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, boy, I used to know his name. He
forgot it.
He actually did the landscaping in the back of the. Did you see off the koi pond?
Did that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, because he doesn't act anymore. I just.
Why
I just,
not? Oh, well, he made all that Isuzu money.
And decided to follow his bliss, which it turns out was
gardening.
Was aquaculture. He found a way to marry aquaculture and landscaping and eating.
Oh.
Making enough money to eat.
To eat.
Yeah. But I digress, and I don't bring up the fact that some actors overstep the bounds of their potential appeal. Mm-hmm. I don't bring that up for any particular reason. It just came up.
Okay.
Okay, and I'd like you to I'm going to get Mary in here, and we're going to have you sign off on a
NDA or something?
No. I just want to make sure that if you decide to be offended by what I said later, that we've already got your release
on. That I'm offended by what you said about the actor who played Joe Isuzu?
Yeah. Yeah. That you might consider at some point that I might have been making a veiled comment about...
the quality of Empty Nest?
The future of an actor who thinks maybe that he's got more broad appeal than he might actually have. And that actor being named Todd Robert Anderson.
Thinking that people will be interested in me napping?
Exactly. Exactly. And that's not what I'm saying.
I'm willing to nap with the guy who played Joe Isuzu.
He's often to be found half drunk, half in and out of the koi pond.
Oh, sort of. Okay. He cares for the koi?
We have to keep replacing those carp, actually.
Oh.
Occasionally you'll find one with a big belly up with a big bite taken out of it.
Oh, he's the sushi guy.
And he smells like... The whole pond smells like sake. It's horrible.
That's strange.
So, on Empty Nest,
uh-huh.
Joe Isuzu,
mm-hmm.
not playing Joe Isuzu.
No, he's playing another guy.
Playing another guy.
But I watched it because I love Joe Isuzu.
Exactly. And I'm going to ask you this.
He never told the truth.
Point blank.
Uh-huh.
Not only was he a liar, he was, I'm going to guess... well, I'm going to ask you. A, awake, or B, asleep.
Oh, on Empty Nest?
Yeah.
He was awake.
For the most part.
Yeah.
All right.
But the old guy who was the lead of Empty Nest often looked like he wanted to lie down. I think that's...
I think this is exactly where the tension is between your concept for Todd Knapp's and ours. He didn't lie down.
Right, but I think part. I watched it, and I think everybody watched Empty Nest because they wanted to see him take a nap. And it was a ultimately frustrating show when you never got to the nap.
This is marketing, and this is storytelling. You don't give the people what you want, what they want. You give them what you want to give them. Now, I realize that probably sounds promising to you in that you could just give them Todd actually napping, right?
Right.
Not that simple.
I mean, I don't agree with you. I think that this is what people want.
If the rubric were this simple...
Mm-hmm.
This conversation that we're having now would be broadcast as entertainment, and obviously that's silly.
That's ridiculous.
Give me another show. Did you watch Star Trek when you were growing up? Did you have those on reruns?
The old one, with Captain Kirk and the Leonard Nimoy.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah. I watched that.
Now, what was your favorite episode? Me, I like the one where the guy with the head of a Tyrannosaurus, the Gorn.
Oh, yeah.
I like the one where he
that's like a first seasoner, right?
The arena, right?
Yeah, that's a good one.
I like that one.
Yeah.
But some people have different... I like the Horta, right?
Uh-huh.
The pizza-looking monster that ate through rock and
destroying like that.
Its eggs.
Yeah.
You tell me, what's your favorite
episode? I like the one where they go to the planet where they all get horny and...
lovey-dovey.
Yes,
even
right.
Leonard Nimoy.
Right,
even Spock does.
And here's a thing, right? Here's a scenario where you would think, right? I mean, people amorous, right? People are very often when they get lovey-dovey, as you say. You know, most people when they get romantically inclined, you're thinking there's going to be a bed involved at
right.
some point, right? And in that episode, there are in fact, you know, scenes of people lounging in beds and come hither looks and bedroom eyes, right?
Sure, sure.
One thing that doesn't happen in that episode is everybody goes to fucking sleep.
Well, God. Yeah, but see, this is the evolution of entertainment, because on that episode, you saw them getting into beds and getting lovey-dovey, and then, you know, and that was the 60s, so mm-hmm. they couldn't really show explicitly the lovey-dovey stuff. Mm-hmm. Cut to now, they'll show a lot of making out on TV. Mm-hmm. You can get side boob mm-hmm. sometimes. You mm-hmm. get butts, you mm-hmm. know, and then on the pay channels, you get to see everything. Mm-hmm. And so what's the one thing you don't get to see is after the climax of the sexual relations, what do people like to do?
All right.
What do people like to do? What do people like to do?
Well,
they like to get some sleep.
Most men fall asleep.
They get some sleep.
And what
it's
women
very
do,
satisfying.
I don't know.
Well, because you're asleep. Yeah.
You've just given me a great idea.
Uh-huh.
Your wife's a performer, right?
Sure.
Okay. So how about we call this show Todd Fucks and Naps.
Todd Fucks and Naps.
Yeah. Okay. So once a day, boy, you guys are... Well, look, this is the price of fame, right? I mean, this is...
Yeah,
this is,
it's going to be... We're going to have to...
I don't see a way... With a one-camera setup and basically a one-take shoot
well,
every
do
day,
we, like,
I don't see a way to get stunt cock in
I don't
in
think
this.
The sex should happen every day. I don't think that's reflective of a real, you know, marriage.
It's not. That's why it would be a television show.
Okay.
Where people would get to
well,
see their
we're
wishes
have to make
fulfilled.
It, yeah, we're going to have to make it more interesting, though. There's going to have to be, you know... Probably hookers and stuff.
That's fine too. Todd Fucks and Naps is not necessarily about you know the traditional nuclear family and the head of that the titular head of that family.
Well, like you got to have sex every day. You got to make it interesting.
Yeah, maybe especially if we're going to call it Todd Fucks and Naps.
Yeah.
Because my first impulse was to say, well, we would just call it Todd Naps After Fucking. But I think we're missing an opportunity there.
Yeah, you might be right.
Yeah, because...
Burying the lead a little bit.
Now, this being a 22-minute show, right?
Yeah.
you would think, oh, well, I'm going to have to fuck for at least 20 minutes, right? Because how long...
Well, that's going to be... Really... Then the whole show is going to be fucking.
Pretty much, yeah. Because I'm thinking what's going to sell, mm-hmm. maybe the... fucking angle.
Well, I'm willing
more,
to do...
More than the napping.
I'm willing to do 5 minutes of fucking, and then it has to be the napping
well,
has to take place.
Here's what comes up.
Because, again, this is about my artistic integrity.
We've actually got a couple of 10 or 12-minute segments in a cold open. That's basically all we've got. So we can't have you fucking through the commercials. That would be ludicrous.
Okay.
So all you'll need to do,
uh-huh.
as it turns out, on second thought, boy, no wonder we get paid so much. You know, this is complicated stuff.
It's hard work.
So you would need to have, let's say, 8 to 10 minutes of foreplay, right, before
mm-hmm.
the first commercial break. And then I'm afraid we're going to have to ask you for at least 10 minutes of fucking, Todd, per day.
All right. So that leaves 12 minutes of napping.
Yeah.
In a 22-minute
yeah,
running time.
Unfortunately, it would.
I'll take that.
Right.
As long as the majority of the show is still napping.
Well,
and this is assuming that this is assuming that there's no ducks and Loki and shit during the nap.
I don't want to close those doors and burn those bridges. And
so you want me to fuck for 10 minutes and then have an interrupted nap for 12? I mean, it's just.
I don't know what you're... You're very resistant to some of the, and I like that. You know, you're a groundbreaker. But you're very resistant to some stuff that we've found traditionally is extremely successful.
Yeah, but I don't necessarily think that tradition is the right choice in this kind of new kind of
dynasty. I mean, that's all they were selling.
It's tradition?
Yeah, the tradition of looking like everybody in your family is in ZZ Top, except that they go to church every day.
Right.
And hate black
and then,
people.
And then eventually somebody says something racist and bye-bye show. Is that show gone, or they still do that?
We're going to act as if it's gone for the purposes of this fake podcast interview.
Okay.
Because I don't know.
I don't know either.
But my guess is that if we paid them, they'd come on the show and potentially fuck whoever was in bed with you, which is where the hookers come in, because we know these guys probably aren't just fucking their wives. Because if there's one thing we know about right-wing celebrities is they fuck around.
That's true.
So I don't know how you and Hillary feel about, you know, getting in bed with a bunch of right-wing extremists who are, you know, admittedly racist and probably not all that clean.
It feels potentially damaging to my career.
Look, a little exploitation goes a long way. We don't have to necessarily have them come over en masse every day fuck you and your wife.
Well, what about the Kardashians instead of the Duck Dynasty guys?
Ew, Todd.
Really?
I don't usually go there, but ew.
Really?
Yeah. We're talking about a family, your family, Todd, that we want to be able to tune in and see these people day in and day out without vomiting and without shitting ourselves and without maybe getting a hernia or an ulcer from all the vomiting and shitting.
I understand, but maybe we can I'm willing to go with Todd Fox and naps. I'd rather the 12-minute nap be a nap. Because I think that's what people want to see. They want to see real
napping. There's no problem with you actually napping in the blurry background of a shot in which two right-wing extremist bearded men talk about which gauge, you know, is best for which mallard versus, a piebald, for instance.
Right.
There's no inherent justice in television, Todd, and I think you've been working in this realm long enough that I'm not awakening you to anything with that statement. This is the given circumstance. What we want and what we would like and what we think would be fair
is not all.
Not really what's going to happen.
Okay,
this we know at this point.
I mean, I understand, but I feel like I am taking a step towards your stuff and compromising, but it feels like when I take that step forward towards the compromise, you want to yank me further.
Think about
and that's when I
that's
lose.
Understandable.
I lose my artistic integrity. That's when my vision is compromised.
Why it would look too like much. That? I can understand that from your perspective. That's how this would seem. So let me put it in another perspective for you, just for a second.
Yeah.
First of all, think about your career to date, right?
Yeah.
And think about all the rejections you've suffered as a professional actor.
A lot of rejections.
Think about all the personal humiliations you've had to go through as a professional actor. Think about all the times you didn't get what you want. Think about how many times you've starred in your own television show, right? Named, with your own name in the title of the show. Just think about all the times that hasn't happened.
All right.
And then think about...
This has not happened in traditional storytelling shows. That's why I'm bringing the new concept that I fit into.
So what I'm saying is that you, as somebody who isn't traditionally starring in his own show, and your naps, which don't traditionally run the story arc for a season, it's a reality show.
It doesn't need to have a story arc. It's a show about a guy napping.
Yeah. So what I'm suggesting is you think about that in the perspective of, has this ever happened before to me? And how generous are these executives being by suggesting that this could ever happen in any way, especially in any way that has even 1% of your original idea in it? I'm just suggesting that you look at it from that perspective.
Oh, well.
From the perspective of a marketplace that's been running quite well without your input. For, let's say, 75 years before you got into the business. And should this meeting take an unfortunate turn and maybe become about how we can do without you in the future, what the difference would be between yesterday and tomorrow.
You know what, I'm just going to walk away. I'm going to think about this.
My reps
will get in touch.
I think that's best.
We'll get in touch. I'll talk to my people, and we'll figure it out and figure if it's the right thing to do.
I've got people here that all they're going to do is wait for you to call so they can put you on hold.
Great.
Absolutely.
Great.
Absolutely. Great. Absolutely. Thanks for coming in.
So you should now, can you morph back into a podcast host? So,
yeah.
So you can wrap up your podcast show?
Yeah, Todd, so this kind of improv-y shtick thing, generally when you crazy actors do your thing.
Yeah, that make them ups.
Generally they're funnier than this, right?
No.
I saw, I'm going tonight to the Falcon Theater in Burbank.
To see...
Speaking of television, because that's the theater owned by...
Gary Marshall,
who's... big television name. The Impro Theater Company is going to go make up a Sondheim-style musical tonight in two acts.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the more amazing things that I get to see in the course of my work as a critic.
Now, have you seen this group before?
Yeah.
And they did a musical improv of another kind? Or?
They did a musical improv. I've seen them do Sondheim before. As far as I know, that's the only... no, they also do a Sinatra thing.
Oh,
people throw out suggestions from the audience about what would be a good Sinatra song.
Uh-uh.
And they just make it up and start singing it.
Oh,
and,
nice.
And there's a guy on a piano. It's remarkable. The bulk of what they do is they do literary genres. So they do Jane Austen type stories. They do Chekhov type stories. They do Twilight Zone type stories. They do a lot of them. Westerns. And these guys are ridiculous at the make 'em ups. One of the things they do best is that they don't pursue the funny all the time.
Right.
And like the thing that we just did, while I'm sure tedious to listen to, was really engaging for you and I to do here, right?
Right.
Because it was, it took a lot of energy, right? It takes a lot of mental energy to sustain some, you know, ridiculous circumstance that you just make.
Right. And you got to listen because the circumstance can get more ridiculous and you got to hang on to those details.
Yeah. You can't check out as you can if you just... you know, if you're doing some scene from a Shakespeare play that you've
done a thousand times,
it's easy to be thinking about your laundry or your bowels.
Girlfriend or how you got to take a dump.
Yeah. So, one of the reasons that this is the only improv troupe that I ever go see on any kind of a repeat basis, is that the average age of these performers is somewhere in the 40s.
Oh, okay.
They're
seasoned,
and they have a number who are younger than that, a number that are older. But I would say that the average number of years that these people have been practicing long form improv, and not just practicing improv of any kind, is in the 20s.
Right.
So these people are
they're seasoned. Yeah,
and they are so good. So consistently, right? And the people on their team who have only been doing it for 10 or 15 years, there's a huge difference in the level of quality of the make-em-ups. And they're not about being funny, again. They're not necessarily about doing the thing that you would expect them to do. If they, for instance, if two members, two seasoned members of Impro Comedy Theater had just performed an improvisational dialogue of the sort that you and I just came up with, they'd kill themselves because they're so fucking good at it. So my question to you is, as an actor with downtime, right, if you're spinning your wheels, right, I mean, you're not actually napping all the time is my guess. You're actually, I mean, one of the things about you that I know is that you do a lot of podcasting and sort of material for the internet that you come up
with. Sure, sure.
You do the film pigs, and you do a lot of stuff that goes up online to keep yourself busy, and I'm guessing to keep yourself sharp when you're not actively working.
Right.
Exactly. Does that depress you at all?
What?
That you have to... Because I know a lot of actors who, you know, when they're not working, they're sad that they're not working, and so eventually they find... I was just talking to a guy about this the other day. He was talking about doing small theater in L.A. for no money, and that it depresses him occasionally. He'll be in the middle of a scene, and he'll check out while he's on stage, and he'll think, fuck, this is... I'm doing this because I couldn't get a job. I had to make work for myself.
Yeah.
And do you find with these podcasts and the jokey bits and the film pigs and stuff that you do... Do you ever find that you're like, damn, you know, this is just a substitute for something I would prefer to have?
No.
This is my greatest joy.
Well, that's the thing, you know. I said to the guy, why do you do it then? I mean, if you're in an industry where, you know, the average actor isn't going to work the vast majority of the time, and you made yourself some stuff to do that was artistically fulfilling and kind of a good time, and you got to do it with people that you liked.
Yeah.
What's to be depressed about there? And he's like, I don't know. I just can't stop thinking. I can't stop comparing the stuff I do for fun to the stuff I would do for money. And the idea that he would do a whole run of a play like Picnic, which is running at the Antaeus right now, mm-hmm. And he would do a whole run of this goddamn play, this 2.5-hour play. Every time he performs it, he's got to be on stage forever and hang around this theater forever.
Right.
And he's not getting any money, a little stipend here and there, you know, maybe it'll cover gas, but why do you think that you don't have that problem that some actors have, which is feeling like the downtime is somehow wasted time?
Well, I guess it's kind of like what Tom Hardy said in an interview recently.
I wish they had shown me the script for Mad Max before we shot the movie.
No, but it was in that same interview. But he was basically saying, you know, I do get paid a lot to do this, mm-hmm. but the truth is, if they weren't paying me, I'd still be doing this.
Right.
So I think it's easy for an artist to get frustrated and feel, you know, either left out or whatever mm-hmm. while they're doing their mm-hmm. free stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, an artist produces art. So, I mean, I've gone through that, certainly. But I think it's just like a mindset change. You just got to you got to make peace with the fact that artists are broke
mm-hmm.
much of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And even though we're sold this concept of you work hard and yeah. all your dreams will come true, that's none of that is real. That's right. All bullshit.
Right.
What's real is if you're an artist, you make your art. And sometimes you run into money for it and sometimes you don't.
Well, that's a great point because I think that's probably one of the reasons that you're a more successful actor than most actors that you meet in L.A. You
know, perhaps.
You work a lot because you don't feel shitty about it. You know what I mean? On some level, you're doing the stuff that and you carry that into auditions.
But I matured into that. It's not – I mean, I get that feeling. And I don't think it's wrong. And I still will get frustrated and depressed sometimes if I think about,
sure.
you know, what I aimed for, you know, when I was young and where I've come. Yeah. But especially in the last, you know, few years, I've really kind of made peace with, you know, it's like that Dwight Yoakam song. I've been thinking about leaving long enough to change my mind.
Mm.
And that's sort of what I went through. I was like, I should quit. And then was like, I'm not going to quit. And in saying I'm not going to quit, why am I not going to quit? And then I was like, oh, shit, because this is, you know, who I am. So, you know, the money matters less. And I think you're right. I think when you make that piece and you're also kind of let go of your ego, which is a strange thing for an actor to say because mm-hmm. actors can be so egomaniacal. But when you let go of your ego and you say, I'm here to serve the story. And it's easier to get through, you know, rejections that way as an actor because you go in and you do your job in the mm-hmm. audition and they're there. It's their story. You're just lending a hand,
mm-hmm.
And they're telling that you know it doesn't mean that you're bad or anything. It's just you're not the right component to yeah. tell their story,
yeah.
but you will be the right component to tell somebody else's story. And in the meantime, you should make up your own friggin' stories and tell them.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the Toncast, and that's Todd Robert Anderson talking about why he hasn't killed himself yet. For the rest of the team here, this is Jason Rohr saying tune in next time.